everybody. Welcome back to the Covenant Eyes podcast. Karen Potter here.
Well, hey, to our listeners, we would love to get your feedback. And just, if you would, just go to podcast@covenanteyes.com and just leave us some feedback, show ideas, whatever you'd like. But we'd love to hear from you. So with that, I want to kick off our show today because we have a wonderful friend of Covenant Eyes back again on the podcast, Joshua Broom. Joshua, welcome to the Covenant Eyes podcast.
I just love you guys so much, and it's always a pleasure spending time with you and spending time with your audience. It's such an important intersect in my life, just pointing people to how do they do the thing that they want to accomplish, and part of doing the due diligence of protecting yourself from yourself is having great technology like you guys have.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Well, hey, Joshua, just to start out, there might be a few people who don't know who you are. Can you give us a little background on yourself? And then also, we're going to talk a little bit about your new book. So you want to intro that as you get started?
Yeah, so my name is Joshua Broom, and my wife and I, Hope, we've been married for 8 years, almost 8 years in July, and we've got four boys. So a 5, a 3, a 2, and a 7-week-old, well, 8-week-old, time's going so fast. But so I love that I get to travel the world and sharing my story. And speaking of weather in different demographics, I was in New York yesterday, and it was far too hot for what I was wearing. I was confused because last time I was in New York, like 3 weeks ago, it was snowing. But I get to travel and share my story. And my story ultimately is I grew up with a lot of brokenness in my life. And I thought that I could find enough people, things, and affirmation from everything the world promises that will satisfy your soul. And believing those lies led me to doing something that I never thought in a million years I would do. I was actually in the porn industry. I was in the porn industry for 6 years, did over 1,000 films. And even while I was in that industry, I believed, well, if I become successful enough, if I make enough money, if I get enough notoriety, then and only then maybe that would satisfy my soul. And I think in a real way, in God's kindness, he allowed me to experience everything that I thought would satisfy my soul. And when it didn't work, that brokenness was, something that I wasn't ready to handle. And I think he spoke through a person that saved my life one day, and through an amazing array of events, I ended up in Raleigh, North Carolina, where this young lady confronted everything that I thought to be true. I thought that because I didn't have the childhood that I wanted, that I was unwanted, and because I had done bad things and my bad things were tangibly found, that made me a bad person. And because I was carrying this theoretical scarlet letter, I didn't have access to hope. I didn't have access to the things that I really was passionate about. I wanted to be a father. I wanted to be a husband. I wanted to contribute to the world in a way that led to positive change, but I thought I disqualified myself from all of those things. And I met this girl, and I was like, here's how bad I am. And she heard all of my past, and she said something that changed my life. She said that I wasn't defined by the worst thing I've ever done, and I wasn't defined by the greatest thing I'll ever do. There's a creator of all things that is existing outside of time, space, and matter, and he has the final say, that person being God. And she asked if I knew him, and I didn't. And she shared with me her faith and then invited me to church, and I gave my life to Jesus. And that was 9 years ago. And today, that person's my wife.
Aww.
And and her name's Hope, which is pretty amazing. And that same week, I felt this calling to share my story. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew that if I was going to share my story, if it was Jesus that saved my life, I need to know if Jesus says not a dot, not an iota of his word will pass away until it's all fulfilled. He takes his word seriously, so should I. So I walk into this church, and I was like, you know, 2 days after I gave my life to Christ, I'm like, hey, I've got this crazy story and I would love to tell it, but I think I really need to know the words of Jesus so I can live the life of Jesus, so I can tell people how Jesus changed my life. And I got discipled, and the journey that I went on, it was, developing theological competence. You know, I went to Liberty University, got a degree in Christian ministries and studied biblical theology and all of that. But in addition to that, I had the opportunity to work with really great organizations and mentors to help me understand and come to be very competent in the neuroscience around how pornography impacts the brain. I get to speak into legislation and get to understand what laws exist, what laws don't exist, what gaps do we have that need to be spoken into. And God has just done certainly exceedingly abundantly more than I can ever hope or imagine. And I'm called to the church. I'm called to, we see the church not being ineffective, but I think to look at, okay, there's 2.5 billion Christians, and then there being 5.5 people that don't know Jesus. I think the integrity gap that exists because of habitual sin, primarily being pornography consumption, if we can eradicate the pornography consumption in the church, people will walk in the boldness and authority that comes with walking in the Spirit. So that's my mission, to call people out of sin and into the abundance that they have access to when they walk in holiness. So I know it was a long-winded answer, but that's who I am and that's what I do.
That's amazing. No, I think that's great. I think that's awesome, because some people, you know, that tune in may not know your story and may not know, like, where did Joshua Broom come from and, like, what is your history? And that leads us to your book. I mean, you're super busy right now. I mean, you've got, I don't know if people have checked out your docuseries, but that is profound. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But the podcast docuseries that you're doing, I have learned so much and it was eye-opening. But then in addition to that, you just rolled out this amazing new book. And I want to talk about that too, because I think there's a lot of our listeners that would be blessed greatly by getting their hands on this book. So start where you'd like, but let's talk about both.
Yeah, I mean, I think the podcast is so important, because it's almost like if you would have been following with me and I was to take you on a journey, systematically, our hope and our intentionality was, so we dropped one episode of this podcast every Tuesday leading up to March 5th, which was the 8th episode. But it was also the day that the book released. So if you listen to the podcast, it's almost like the book is a more in-depth look at not necessarily everything we talk about, but really the why that drives my what. It's really a deeper, expounding into the lies of culture and, you know, some of the things that impacted me. And if you're curious for me to expound upon certain things, you'd be really interested in reading the book. But I would say the podcast is unique in that it's almost like a documentary style, and it's tracking two stories simultaneously. It's tracking my story from my childhood, and I think that's so important, because you look at pretty much any really good book that's going to, or any good talk that's going to allow you to change a habitual behavior. Mm-hmm. If you want to, eradicate pornography from your life, behavior modification is never going to work. And I love that, because of the Victory app, it's never an either or. It's always a both and. It's like you need tools to protect yourself and you need information to walk in. You need relational community. You need confessional community. You need knowledge. You need to equip yourself with these things, and you need the practical tools to protect yourself from the world, because the world is trying to destroy you. But the story, the documentary, it's tracking my story from childhood to it's tracking my story from childhood and simultaneously tracking really the birth of not the birth of sexual immorality, but you know, we start with what does sexual immorality look like in the church in Corinth and Ephesus, and then it as it you know grows or you know the timeline goes on, you look at magazines and then silent films and then you know. Dial up and how it started becoming more prevalent on the internet and then, you know, to what we know for it to be today. And in the same way, you track my story from my childhood to college to being in the porn industry to getting out of the porn industry to where I am today. And I think it's really important to start where everything begins because, I mean, you look at, okay, how does God make sense? Well, the cosmological argument makes sense where there's an intelligent designer existing outside of time, space, and matter. And if they come into existence at the same time, there had to be a catalyst for this cohesive design existing outside of it, and for him to do that in a cohesive way that has consistency and it maintains itself, then there has to be an intelligent designer outside of that thing. So I think Genesis clearly points to that. Like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there it is. And I think, like, in the same way, if you understand the wounds of your past and how you grow up, because the porn consumption is not, it's a byproduct of a wound, is really a long-winded way of me trying to get to that point. It's like the behavior modification, if you're trying to stop watching porn by, you know, white-knuckling it and just trying your best, you're going to fall short because it's not that you're watching porn, it's why you say yes to watching porn and you're trying to medicate a wound. And yes, there's plenty of neuroscience around the habitual nature of pornography and how it impacts your brain and all these things. But really, it's like if you don't get to the root, you'll never get to the fruit of not desiring to watch it. Because the objective is not to stop watching it. The objective is to not desire to watch it. And the only way you can not desire to watch it is to understand that it's not good for you and to understand there's something better.
That's so good.
And like understanding something better, like that's the key. If you understand and experience that, you know, like Titus 2 talks about this, like by saying no to ungodliness, the byproduct of that is you desire righteousness, and you can't desire righteousness on your own because you have, you have this wounded flesh, you have this broken heart, and you know that's really like the centerpiece of the book, really examining the heart, and you can't trust your heart, even though, you know, you've got this. Oh, I could keep on going forever,
no, you're
but
good.
Yeah, so that's the documentary. Yeah, but that's the documentary. So the documentary is tracking the porn industry from inception to today, and then also tracking my story from childhood to now. And it answers a lot of questions. And we go deep into things that I haven't ever talked about or have, you know, just slightly hinted at. And it was really freeing for me, if I'm honest. So just a lot of brokenness in my life that I was able to process out loud. And anyone that knows me, it's like that's how I communicate. That's how I, you know, like when I'm prepping for a talk, it's just this chaotic whiteboard of webs and all kinds of ideas. And that's just so healing for my soul. So, so that was the podcast. And then the book, about 4 years ago, I wanted to write a manuscript of my story. And God started to shape and move. And when I sat down with a few different publishers that I had the opportunity to working with, the reason that I chose FaithWorks or Hachette was that they were like, we think your story has power, but what are you most what are you most excited about talking about? What is like God teaching you that you're on fire about talking about? And I was like, well, there it's multifaceted, but really, I think God has given me a voice to uniquely speak into many of the relative problems in culture. And if I could use nuances of my story to answer the question, because like the question is, who do you believe Jesus to be? You know, if if so like Mark 14:62, Jesus is asked that question. And he says that I'm the I am. I'm the I am from Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, you see, he's the I am from Exodus, but like in Exodus 32, you see Aaron and the band of misfits creating a golden calf and calling the golden calf Yahweh. And they had put like these false pretenses on their worship. And I think that goes into the lie. So the most important question that you could ask, like, who do you truly say that Jesus is? And he's not Jesus plus your trauma and presuppositions. Jesus is who he claims to be. And if you allow him being who he is to help you see who you are, then and only then you can see yourself rightly. So I would just say, man, it's like, if I could help people answer the questions, what is true? That's the game changer. And the world propagates so many lies where it, you know, says, if you have enough things and if you know enough people, or if you have X, Y, and Z, you'll be happy. I experienced it. It didn't work, in so many things. And the book's really saying, hey, the world is screaming so many lies at you, but there is a truth. And if you surrender and submit those lies to the person of Jesus, you can see rightly and heal from something that's keeping you from more.
Quite absolutely. You're definitely a preacher, Joshua. I love it. Thanks for all that. You know, your book, Seven Lies That That Will Ruin Your Life. Now, we don't want to spoiler alert. Not going to ask you to give us all those. But, you know, out of those seven lies, there's certainly one or two that Satan really uses to the fullest. And so can you talk a little bit about that? And what have you seen really that's making a difference for people to find their way out of that lie? I mean, you touched on some of that already, but how does just knowing the lies is the first step, you know, that we're falling to them, but where do we go from there?
I would say, so the first chapter is about approval. And, I think that's one of the biggest lies in culture, that especially because of social media. Because, I mean, I would say that we live in a generation where we are the most connected generation in the history of time because of social media, yet we're also the most disconnected in the history of time, suffering with loneliness, mental health on the rise. And I think that instead of truly being known, we know about so many people. And until you're truly known by someone, you will believe the lie that you need to portray you are someone that you truly are not. And I think when you are dealing with sin, because the reality is we all deal with sin, and the way that God designed community to work is we experience the First John forgiveness, but the healing that comes from James 5:16, that cost you something. So you have to be known to do that. And also in a generation where it's so unique in my story, where when I said yes to the porn industry, this agent asked me three questions. He asked me, how did I grow up? What was I doing in LA? And what did I hope to accomplish? And I gave him ammunition to manipulate me, but also I gave him a window in how I saw myself, because I told him I grew up just pretty much me and my mom. So I communicated that I grew up in a broken home. And then I'm, in LA trying to do modeling and acting. And then, interestingly enough, I said I wanted to be famous. And I think so many people want to be famous. And what I mean by that is, when you say you want to be famous, or you say you want to be rich, or you say you want to be successful, anything that's not measurable is not attainable. Because famous, how famous? Like, how many people need to know your name for your soul to be satisfied? If you want to be rich, how much money equates to being rich? Because the way that the enemy works is if you believe the lie that if you have something, you'll feel something, and that thing's not real, it's a counterfeit, then when you get close to the metric that you thought would satisfy your soul, you're going to feel empty and you're going to be insatiable for more, which leads to this cyclical sin cycle, because there's one thing that your heart was made to long for, and it's a relationship with Jesus so that you can be reconciled to God. So I think like that's the big lie, because we need to understand we cannot obtain approval. We can't obtain it. It grace, merited favor that we don't deserve, was bestowed upon us, and through Jesus, we are approved. So if we operate from approval in contrast to seeking approval, that is where we find rest. That is where we find peace. So I think like that is a big lie. And then also, I think, you know, obviously pornography being a big part of the things that I talk about, it's, you know, that counterfeit intimacy. So it's the next to last chapter. And it kind of tied to hijacked healing as well, because intimacy is not sex. We polled 10,000 people, and in the neighborhood, 90% of people, when I asked the question, when I say intimacy, what's the first word that comes to mind? And sex was the most frequent answer. And while intimacy and sex are interconnected in a biblical sense, in between one marriage, between one man and one woman, but if we believe the lie that we can partake in intimacy outside of first experiencing intimacy with God, we're wrong. Because from, you know, a good biblical theology will tell you that intimacy is found in proximity to God. Yeah. Being known by God and spending time with God, that is where true intimacy is found. And through the lens of understanding what intimacy is, you can experience love. You can experience relationships. But again, something I say over and over in the book, if you believe a lie to be true, it's true to you. And you create this plausible reality out of that lie. You create a worldview out of that lie, and you see through that lens and you live through that lens. And if you're looking through a broken lens, you're going to live a broken life. And I think so many people are looking for love in all the wrong places and calling love all the wrong things is because that has, from the beginning, been Satan's plan. Did God really say, because if I can get you 5 degrees off, you'll end up a million miles from where you intended to go? And that's Satan's plan. Satan's plan is to get you to believe a lie that God is not enough. And if he can get you to believe that, you'll seek to satisfy your heart everywhere else.
Wow. That was amazing. And I think our listeners are going to be truly blessed by what you just shared with us, Joshua. I think, you know, you brought up some really interesting points in when you were talking about pornography too. I mean, for so many, whether it's pornography or any other sin, it's really just it's a coping mechanism that we use to deal with either our attachment issues or our brokenness. You know, it's triggered by, you know, being tired, hungry, lonely, sad, anxious, yeah, all of those emotions. It really is just a symptom of that root that you were getting at, you know, and the root is that longing, that deep longing for a relationship with Christ. And so many of us are trying to fill that deep hole in our heart with all this other stuff. I just see that, yeah, woundedness in our culture right now. And our young people, I think because of technology, are even experiencing it at greater levels, because technology and social media in itself really is all about a facade. It's creating who you want to be online, but it's not actually who you are. And so they're creating facades. They may not even really truly know who they are. They're trying to fill their lives with all this stuff when ultimately the truth that they're seeking is a relationship with Christ. What can we do as Christians? I mean, obviously getting, you know, our hands on this book and learning more about all those lies, but what else can we do as Christians to help our younger people, ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's a multifaceted answer, but the first thing you need to know is you need to know the difference between what's true and what's not. I mean, if there was one verse that would tie this book together, it'd be Romans 12:2. It's like you're either being conformed by the world or you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to go through this metamorphosis and reject what the world is saying to be true, and it tells you why, so that you can discern what is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. You were created in the image of God, and there is intrinsic value. You are deserving of dignity, but when you give that dignity away, most certainly it can be restored. But when you treat yourself in that way, you're going to see yourself as less than, and you're going to believe the lie that you need to become something other than yourself because you believe yourself, you don't measure up. You're not good enough. And that's the way that the enemy works, because you were made in the image of God. Like, you are amazing. Like, you, like every single person is amazing. And to access the abundance, and guess what? There's a plan and purpose for your life. Like, the questions that keep you up at night, why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, all of these things, they have very clear answers, and they're not vague. They're individualistic. They're answers for you. You have a purpose. There's a plan for your life. The charisma that you have, the personality that you have, where you are logistically, all those things are predetermined by a creator that knows everything about you and loves you and wants you to flourish in this world so that you can do good work, so that you can experience joy, peace, happiness, all these things. So I would just say, man, you got to believe that porn is robbing you from the abundance that's available to you. So first you got to say, okay, porn is detrimental to me and it hurts other people. Because if I believe that at its root, it's much easier to say no to it. Because if I don't believe that, it's so easy to justify it and say, this doesn't hurt anyone, it's not hurting me, it's not a big deal. But the reality of you seeing a person on a screen, objectifying that person, training your mind to believe that that person is a product, and if you believe that you can use people and love things, and you'll live that way, and you won't have integrity, you won't be a good friend, and you will feel ashamed, and you will be struggling in isolation because you are living in a way that is counterintuitive to the way that you are designed. So I was like, man, you got to know that it's not good for you, and then you got to tell someone. You look at the astronomical amount of data, so many people, regardless of if you're in the church or you're outside of the church, you're following Jesus, you're not following Jesus, whatever socioeconomic level you're at, wherever you live, like, whatever it is, like, this is something that the world is struggling with. I was in El Salvador and listening to 12-year-olds that walk 2 miles to go to an internet cafe and watch pornography. It is everywhere, and it is destroying homes, people, contributing to so many evil things. So it's like you gotta understand that it's not good for you, and you need to tell someone.
Yeah, amen, amen. Those are such good words, and definitely our listeners are going to love that. Joshua, if our listeners want to find more about you and all of your work and your book, where do they go and find that?
Yeah, so across all social media, it's I Am Joshua Broom. If it's not a blue check mark, it's not me. There's tons of fake ones out there. And if you want to buy the book, man, I would love for you to hop on over to my website. So joshuabroom.me. There's an E on my last name. So Joshua Broom with an E .me. And you can see where to buy the book. If you want to invite me to speak at your church or your event, you can do that there. And if you want to access some really cool resources that you guys are helping put together, because my hope for every person, like, why do I speak? Why do I write books? Why do I create courses? Why do I do all that I do? Because there is an abundant life that's available to each and every person, but it starts with surrender and submission to the person of Jesus Christ. He loves you so much that he died for you so that you could have access to life in a way that you just otherwise don't. And that's what changed my life, and that's what I want other people to experience.
Amen.
That's incredible. Amen. Oh my gosh. Amen to that. Joshua, thank you so much for your ministry and for your work and for your new book and all the resources. Again, the podcast docuseries is what I keep calling it, but that is, it's a really informative.
Unmentionable, yeah.
Great. Unmentionable. Yes. I really appreciate everything that you're doing because you have a heart to really just help people find freedom and grow in their relationship with Christ. And if they don't know Christ, to find Christ and welcome him into their heart, if I could speak. This has been a great, great interview. And we are just so glad to be partnering with you in so many different ways. And we hope to have you back to share more once all of your new material is released. We'd love to have you back and talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, and I'll just say one last thing. I'll be quick. It's like the reason that we called the podcast Unmenstruable is because, again, to the confessional community, like that's a needed thing because often the thing that you feel like you can't mention is the thing that holds you hostage. But when you speak that thing that you feel like you can't mention, there's more freedom than you could ever realize. So that's why I just urge someone, like find someone that you love and trust and tell them your darkest secret and you will not believe how much better you feel and how that is your first step on your next step in walking into the life that you never thought possible.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for watching, and look for more from Joshua. We'll have him back on, I'm sure. So thanks again. That's it for today. Take care. Bye-bye.